Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to come and worship, especially when the sun is shining as brightly. Are we all shining brightly this morning?
Yes.
Oh, you are as well. Listen to you. This could be fun. It's good to come, and as we've had such an excellent Bible study, we actually didn't get to the end of what we were doing when we were talking about the spiritual gifts. So this morning we're going to complete our Bible study based on 1 Corinthians 12 as we think about how God uses the gifts of tongues and interpretation, as some call it, the language of heaven, that God would use them to build his house. And as we think about all of the gifts that we've been studying, and even if you've not been to study, I hope you've taken advantage of the readings that have been sent out on email, but that we would have the courage to use our gifts and to ask for more, applying them, and that we would live a spirit-filled life that God intended. And so we pray as we begin. Almighty God, as we gather in this place to worship you, we know that all across the globe, women and men, children and young people gather as well to be your church. In all times, in all places, in all languages, in all cultures. Pour out your spirit upon your church universal, that all who gather in your name and all who praise you may feel your presence, know your will, and have the courage to do what you are calling each one of us to do. We pray in the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we'll continue our praise as we sing number 560. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for your greatness, which gives us courage, and your mercy, which fills us with hope. We live in a world of change. Every day is filled with uncertainty. We are surrounded by the twists and turns of life, and we often feel we have little or no control over things that happen to us. Lord, we come to stand in your eternal presence. We come to you to find ourselves, to find our way, to find hope. We come to you because in Christ you first came to us. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your greatness, for your truth which enlarges our understanding of you and your purposes, and for your glory which enriches our worship. We praise you that when we feel lost, uncertain and afraid, your mighty presence shows us the way. And when we feel empty, you supply joy, courage, and life in abundance. We praise you, our Creator, Sustainer, and Lord. We praise you for the life that you have given us, and for the promise to share every moment of our journey with us. We praise you that in Christ you have given us the assurance that no matter who we are or where we go, you will be there. Lord, we praise you that even in the midst of our anxieties, our doubts and fears, we can place our trust in you, the giver of life, hope and peace. We praise you that true worship is in the name of Christ, in the midst of his people, and overflows with the power of your Spirit. May our praises reach out from this place and to everywhere and everyone. Heavenly Father, we confess that we have come with so many things on our minds that we may find it hard to concentrate on praising you. We confess that we have come with so many things in our hearts that should not be there. We find it impossible to feel comfortable in your presence. We confess that we have filled our thoughts and our days with so many, many things that there is often little space left for you. We confess our lack of prayer and our failure to read your word each day. We confess that we give too little time and space to you, that we are in too much of a hurry to consider the effects of our busyness on others or on ourselves. Perhaps we are afraid to sit and be still. Lord, touch us, hold us, heal us, and by your Spirit, make us whole. Heavenly Father, we pray for the church, that she may be filled with a greater awareness of what it means to be open to you. For congregations everywhere, that they will be seeking earnestly the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit's presence. For a greater urgency and desire to be filled with the love of God. We pray for this church that we may be more and more eager to receive all that God has to give. and more aware of our responsibility in sharing your love with our neighbours. May the grace of Christ challenge us through his Spirit. Loving God, as we look forward to Election Day, hear our prayers for our country and the campaign ahead. We pray for those who are standing for election, for their safety, and for their willingness to listen and to speak. We pray for truthfulness and kindness to prevail as the issues are debated. We pray that each of us will be inspired to use our voice and our vote for your goodness and your glory. Inspire us, God, to love, to pray, and to vote. Father, we come from a world where nothing is certain and where nothing is easy. We come to you with confidence to offer a little more of our lives to you. Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to offer you worship that is centered not on ourselves and our needs, but on you and you alone, because you are worthy of all our thanks and our praise. We bless this time of worship in your most holy name. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's join together and sing number 89, Come Down, O Love Divine. So as we come to think again about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we remember, if you don't remember, I keep telling you every week, that they are unique skills and abilities given by the Holy Spirit to faithful followers of Christ to serve God for the common benefit of his people, the church. That is how God builds his house. And we read in 1 Corinthians 12, to another. So God chooses who gets what gifts. But Paul tells us that we can ask for all of them if we're bold enough and brave enough to do that. And at the back end of the chapter that we were reading and studying together, it reads, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And on verse 28, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. And as we moved forward to 1 Corinthians 14, it concludes Paul's teaching on the spiritual gifts that he did begin in chapter 12. And between them, as I said, during our studies, there is chapter 13. And we know that chapter 13 is the way of love. And as I said many times, it's no accident that that is bang in the middle of when Paul is talking about gifts of the Spirit. Because if we do anything, we have to do it in love. And if you remember, he was addressing an issue within the church at Corinth that they were not being the most loving of people in the way that they were showing off with the gifts that they had. Chapter 13 declared that Christ-like love matters most of all. The gift of prophecy is better than the display of the gift of tongues in worship services, unless someone with the gift of interpreting tongues is available. Even then, only these things which build up the church should be included in any service, and everything should be done in an orderly way, reflecting the character of God. So I'll ask Tony if you'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is on page 1154 and is 1 Corinthians 14, 1-25. And it's headed Gifts of Prophecy and Tongues. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gifts of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak in tongues but to God, indeed. No one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge? Or prophecy, or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? you will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, it be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign for not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, they will not say that you are out of your mind. But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Thanks be to God for his word.
As we heard at the beginning of that chapter, Paul gives a command to pursue love. Paul never dismisses or discounts the gifts of speaking in tongues, but his instructions seem to indicate that the gift was being misused in the Corinthian church services. From the context, we must imagine that many people were speaking in tongues at once with nobody interpreting what was said. Paul shows that the exercise of the gift of prophecy in the church is superior to the use of the gift of tongues if nobody can interpret. Speech in a language the speaker does not know and that sometimes does not follow the patterns of any known language. To use it privately, expressing prayer or praise to God, spirit to spirit, enhancing our personal relationship with God. And used publicly, speaking out in obedience, followed by an interpretation to build up the gathered community, to serve our Lord and share the good news that we have received and responded to. And we'll think of a bit more about that after we've sung number 1183, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God.
Thank you.
weather's great, except when you have hay fever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come and we can sing your praises. We thank you that we have a reason to worship. We thank you that you are a kind and generous God. You want to be with each one of us in all that we do and say. May your words be my words. May we hear your message to each one of us today. But not just be hearers, be doers of your word. Amen. So as we think about the language of heaven, anyone who's travelled any distance with me will know that I have a sat-nav with the voice of Donald Duck. And I know that he is a bit like Marmite. You either love him or you hate him. Some people understand him, some do not. And I have to provide an interpretation. Thankfully, the only person who needs to understand him is the one driving. Moi. It's possibly why I have him, because you can't get anyone saying, do this, do that. You know what these backseat drivers are like. Now, I'm not saying that the gifts of tongues is like Donald Duck's sat-nav. I'm just giving the interpretation that is needed sometimes when you travel with me. But as we come to look at the gifts of tongues interpretation that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, we consider them, how it says to another the gift of tongues and to another the interpretation of tongues. I think they should be discussed together, as Paul does as he addresses the issue of the overuse in the church at Corinth. I always find it amazing, and I don't know why, but I always say that God surprises me, that our Father God invites us to join in with the work that he is doing. And because he loves us so much that he gives us his Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts so that we can be built up personally and live in unity with one another. And by that we are equipped to go out and serve those he puts into our lives. We come into our building to be fed, and we go out to share the love of God in our communities. Because then they can see the fruits of the Spirit growing in us and showing out of us. If they can't see any different in us, then perhaps we should try harder. Speaking in tongues is interesting sometimes, depending on our own personal experience, and can still prove divisive even today. Some of you may have the gift. For some, it is natural. We may have attended worship gatherings where there is a hum of prayer, maybe, and we can hear those closest to us praying in a language that we don't know or understand what they are saying. Sometimes in our worship, these words are spoken out, and usually, not all the time, there is someone else who will interpret. For others, it may be unsettling, particularly the first time that we may have heard it, and may have left you confused or uncertain as to what is happening, particularly if a word spoken out wasn't interpreted, which can affect perhaps how we view the gift. Unfortunately, in our humanity, suspicion and fear of the unusual, something that's not within our experience, tends to make us hide away from things. But we must remember why these gifts were given: to equip us, to build up God's church in unity, so that we can go out and share God's good news with everyone. That is how God builds his house. We get the interpretation tongues from the King James Version, which perhaps some ways doesn't help, because in the Greek it actually means language. You may remember a time when people used to refer, we say, your mother tongue. Yeah? I'm just making sure you're still awake. That's good. Which actually means your first language, and some of you may be able to speak more than one language. But there we have our mother tongue, that which we learnt from birth, our native tongue, our native language. And in some countries can refer to our ethnic group. I think in today's politically correct world, it should be known as father tongue or parent tongue. Because I love attending big gatherings where those present have been asked to say something, maybe the Lord's Prayer, in their native language. It's so inspiring when you hear all of that, those words, and you know what they are, but you don't know what they're saying because you don't understand the native tongue that they're actually speaking in. But you know, because something like the Lord's Prayer, we know what's being said. And it doesn't matter what language you hear it in. Have you ever noticed that it goes up and down in all the same places as we would say it? It's quite good. But in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, Paul is responding to the issues and questions raised in a letter from the Corinthian church concerning spiritual gifts. He says, in particular, because of their background in pagan worship services, their concerns about speech gifts. If you remember, when we look back to chapter 12, verse 3, Paul distinguishes between those speaking in genuine faith, those in the Holy Spirit, those who declare Jesus is Lord, and reiterates the benefits of these gifts to the church. Debates still exist between denominations and movements today. Some, like the Pentecostal movement, are speaking in tongues as the necessary physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some would suggest that your faith is weak or you are not a proper Christian until you can speak in tongues. Yet Paul clearly teaches that God hasn't given everyone the gift of tongues. We saw a charismatic revival in the 1980s, yet others would suggest that the biblical understanding and use has actually ceased during the first century. But Paul states they will cease in chapter 13. It doesn't say that they have ceased. And I hold to the view, as in verse 10 goes on to explain, that they will continue until Jesus, the perfect one, returns. Paul explains that our Father God wants to give the spiritual gift of languages to build up and equip his church, and when used personally, to provide an intimacy of relationship in praise and prayer with him. Various kinds of tongues includes the ability of a spirit-powered believer to speak in a language not known to her or to him. Because it is a gift from God, it deserves our attention. Why wouldn't we want all that God offers and promises to give us life in abundance? Paul explains two distinct ways that that gift can be used. As I said briefly before we started, in private and in public in the meeting of his church. In Corinth, it appears that everyone was speaking out and there was chaos and confusion. Some were speaking to exaggerate the importance of self rather than God. Can you imagine what that must be like? You're all too polite, aren't you? It's like, oh no, I couldn't do noise, that's terrible. Genuine tongue speakers were speaking out in the service, exercising their gifts with no interpreter and with no one present who spoke that language. The result was that the tongue speaker was commanding attention, but his words were meaningless since no one could understand him. Paul strongly advised that all use of tongues in the church must be interpreted. In the church, he says, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. There was no benefit to other church members in hearing something that they couldn't understand. Exercising the gifts of tongues in church simply for the sake of showing everyone that you had the gift was vain and not beneficial. Paul told the Corinthians that if two or three tongue speakers wanted to speak in a meeting, then a spiritually gifting tongues interpreter must also be present. And he says in verse 28, if there's no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. We hear the first public utterance of speaking in languages that occurred at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It allowed Peter to preach the message of Jesus to the people in their own native language without him knowing those languages. The apostles went out and shared the gospel with the crowd, speaking to them, we read, in their own languages. 2:11 says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Therefore, from this, we can understand the gift of tongues is speaking in a language a person does not know in order to minister to someone who does speak that language. According to the Apostle Paul, and in agreement with the tongues described in Acts, speaking in tongues is valuable to the one hearing God's message in his or her own language. But it is useless to everyone else unless it's interpreted. I find it absolutely awe-inspiring that God took a bunch of humble men, some fishermen, and by his power enabled them to speak out to all those gathered in their own language. And it was supernatural because they could understand. Sometimes tongues and prophecy accompany a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as we read throughout the book of Acts. So in his book that David Petz wrote, which I refer to a few times, the gifts of languages can be defined as the supernatural ability imparted by the Holy Spirit to speak a language one has never learned. And when spoken in public, needs an interpreter, somebody to say, not a translator that could be written. Because if not interpreted, if it's not made known, then only the person themselves has been informed. Interpretation of languages is the supernatural ability imparted by the Holy Spirit to interpret a language that neither the speaker nor the interpreter has ever learned. This lack of prior knowledge of a language is what distinguishes the spiritual gift from the natural gift of being able to understand and speak a variety of languages. It seems okay as we read that the same person can also give the interpretation, as Paul says, pray for the power to interpret. The message would then be communicated to everyone else so that all can understand and be built up. The goal was that all could understand and benefit from the truth being spoken. Because this gift can be abused, Paul forbids speaking in tongues in a public service unless someone is present to interpret. And that may be that some of us have been infected by this. It can be counterfeited. It was abused in Corinth and even in churches today by people who don't follow Paul's instructions. But that's no reason to reject it or to be fearful of it. Because the reason it was given, along with all the other gifts, was to instruct, to build up, to unify, to equip, and to serve. In Paul's time, particularly in Corinth, as I said, there was much speaking out that the worship had descended into chaos. Oh, do we pray for some chaos today? It really isn't a 21st century issue, is it? Worship descending into chaos. Surely when following the guidelines Paul had given, this gift can enhance our praise and our prayers, our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. And so I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each one of us. Although Paul puts prophecy first, because that in words that's words that all can understand, he does say in verse 5, I want you all to speak in languages as he himself does. Because Paul sees the benefit, the personal benefit of a relationship, again, a personal relationship in praise and prayer. Asking and having been given the gift, we can pray or sing in tongues as an alternative way to worship God. Paul seemed to use tongues as a kind of personal prayer language. Some have described them, as I said, as the language of heaven. Paul said that when a person prays in tongues, their spirit prays rather than their mind. Paul also sang in tongues in worship. He found, as many in our day have found, that praying in tongues informed him and it built him up. Though he prayed in tongues privately, not in public, because he didn't want to confuse the people. Many of my friends who speak in tongues from their, say, for their private prayer life, how much more that they feel connected to their Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us that we are body and soul and spirit. And when we pray in our spirit, we are communicating Holy Spirit to spirit. Even when we don't know what to say, as we read in Romans, God helps us and speaks to us. It says in Romans 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. If God does give us the gift, we should use it. Tongues with interpretation can, like prophecy, build up our congregation. I pray that our church will be built up, will be equipped, will go out and serve our Heavenly Father. His Spirit gives one or more spiritual gifts to every believer for the common good, to be used in the service of God's church. Nobody acquires or earns their own gifts. The same Spirit gives them away for free as he sees fit, meaning that having one or the other gift does not make any Christian any more important than the other. May we continue this journey together, free in the knowledge that we do not journey alone. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we offer our hearts and minds and lives to you and to Christ who transforms us. We pray for the power of your Spirit to go on working through us and to give us the joy of seeing all other lives made new. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Breath, live in us. Come, Holy Wind, move through us. Amen. Let's join together and continue our praise in number 496. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.
Thank you.
a good workout, isn't it? Let's pray. May God the Father prepare your journey. Jesus the Son guide your footsteps. The Spirit of life strengthen your body. The three in one watch over you on every road that you may follow. Amen. If you just want to sit down briefly. We'll be meeting for prayers in the morning at 10 o'clock. Wycombe Youth for Christ have their vision and praise evening tomorrow evening at St Mary and St George Church at 7:30. Does include an AGM, but don't let that put you off. Come praise. And don't forget men next week, men's breakfast, last one before the summer break. Bless you. Thank you.